happy Easter once again. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. And today I'd like to talk with you about the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and especially, why was Jesus raised on the third day? Now, we know a lot about the cross, why Jesus went to die there, to die in our place, to die for our sins, to die our death for us, that we might be saved. But why was Jesus raised from the dead? And especially, in other words, what did God do for us by raising Jesus from the dead? What gifts did he give us? How has he blessed us by raising Jesus from the dead? Let's take a look at that today. And first, let's just affirm our faith, once again, in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord, from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. What do we mean by that? We mean that Jesus came from heaven. He lived on earth. He died. He was really buried. And he rose again from the dead on the third day. And that is the straight, plain, clear teachings of Scripture. We could look, for example, at 1 Corinthians just 15, where Paul says, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. And then he appeared to more than 500 people as proof. And so we need to reaffirm that today and guard ourselves against some of those wolves whom Jesus forewarned us of that would come into the church and teach contrary to the resurrection. For example, there have arisen in some recent centuries some liberal, unbelieving theologians in the church who've said the resurrection of Christ is just simply that Jesus rose in the hearts of the disciples, that he was really stayed dead, and that they were all just very sad and chagrined after he died. And then they said to each other, buck up, little campers. Let's just go out there and give it the college try, and let's teach his teachings as if he were still alive, even though he isn't really alive. You know what that is? 100% blasphemous garbage. And people who preach such need to repent quickly. And also you have some other liberal wingnut professors that have arisen over the years that say, well, maybe the women just went to the wrong tomb on that first Easter morning. Seriously? The women went to the wrong tomb? Well, I suppose the angels went to the wrong tomb too. Because they said, he's not here, he's risen. And so, I don't know how anybody can get a PhD believing such a thing as that, except that Jesus forewarned us about wolves who are going to come in and try to pull the rug out from under Christians. But the true, straight, plain, clear teachings of the Scriptures and the apostles are that Christ died and he's risen from the dead, literally buried, literally in the grave 3 days, literally raised in his body from the dead on the third day. And it can't be straighter, plainer, clearer than that. Peter and all the apostles preached this. He says they put him to death by hanging him on a tree, says Peter. But God raised him on the third day and made him manifest, not to all the people, but to us, who are chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. That is a wonderful, the best news ever to reach this earth, that Jesus is risen again from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's ask why, though. Why was Jesus raised? What was God doing for us in raising Jesus Christ from the dead? Well, first, he was giving us the joy of the whole hope of the Bible. Because the whole hope of the Scriptures is the resurrection of the dead, that our bodies will one day be raised. Christ is the first one to be raised. That's proof that the resurrection of the dead as well is coming. All flesh will be raised. Now, the Christian life, the whole hope of the Bible, is not just that you live a happier life now, although God, following him, does give us a refreshing journey. It's also not that we just go to heaven when we die, that our souls go to be with God in heaven, but our bodies are done. That's great, too, that we get to go to be with God in heaven, but that's not the hope of the Scriptures. The hope of the Bible, the hope of God's word from stem to stern is this, that there will be a resurrection of the dead, and that our bodies themselves will be raised and glorified as Christians. Consider the beginning of the Bible. The Lord commanded the man, saying, "You may freely eat of the trees of the garden, but of the knowledge of the good and evil tree you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." And then what was the judgment when he ate of that? We read in Genesis 3, verse 19, "Adam, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken. You are dust, and to dust you shall return." So what am I looking at in a congregation here? Are you guys all dust today? I'm just looking at dust that's been breathed the breath of life into, right? And you're going to return to dust one day if the Lord doesn't return in our lifetimes. You're looking at dust preaching to you right now. I'm just dust. But the hope of the Bible is that our dust will be raised on the last day, the resurrection of the dead. And this was proved by Jesus' resurrection. Our bodies decay when we die. They waste away. They return to the dust. But the hope of the Bible is Isaiah 25, where God says, "He'll swallow up death forever. The Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The reproach of his people he'll take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." And then the very next chapter, he says, "Thy dead shall live. Their bodies shall rise. O dwellers in the dust, awake and sing for joy. For thy dew is a dew of light, and on the land of the shades thou wilt let it fall." Do you believe in the resurrection of the dead? Say amen. Amen. Daniel believed in it. Daniel 12 says, "And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt." Do you know that Job believed in the resurrection of the dead? Perhaps the oldest book in the Bible, some say. He said, "I know that my Redeemer lives, and at the last he'll stand upon the earth. And after my skin has thus been destroyed, then from my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see on my side and behold him and not another." So what does that mean? Job believed his body would be destroyed and his body would be raised and he'd see the Lord. And Paul says, "This I admit to you," when he was on trial, "that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and the prophets, having a hope in God, which these themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust." You know what we're teaching here as Christians? What I'm saying to you today? That everybody who's ever lived, people who've died in the sea, people who've been burned, eaten by wolves, people who've just died a normal death and laid in the grave, everybody will be raised. And the resurrection of Christ confirms this for us. And as Christians, we have that joyful hope that we'll be raised to life, that we're God's own. And so that's one thing. We have that joy of the resurrection. We have a great future awaiting us. And another thing is that when God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, he confirmed Jesus' identity, that he is who he said he was, and that all of his words are true. Picture this. If Jesus were a liar, would God have raised him from the dead? Answer me. If Jesus spoke lying visions, would God have raised him from the dead? No. If Jesus were just a pretender, would God have raised him from the dead? No. He raised him from the dead, and in doing so, confirmed, "This is my son. This is the Savior of the world. Believe on him and call on him and find life in his name." The resurrection proves that for us. You know what it also confirms? Every word that Jesus ever spoke. If Jesus lied, he wouldn't have been raised from the dead. And every word that Jesus spoke was confirmed when God raised him from the dead, said his words are trustworthy and true. All the New Testament is true. And Jesus said of the Old Testament, "Scripture can't be broken." And then he said on the day of his resurrection, remember he was walking with a couple of disciples that didn't recognize him, didn't believe he'd raised from the dead. He said, "Foolish men, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have written." Wasn't it necessary that the Christ should suffer and these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses, the beginning, and in all the prophets and the Psalms, he interpreted them and all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So on Easter, what can we rejoice in? Not only the resurrection of the body, but also that this book God has given to us has been confirmed as truth. If Jesus was not true, he wouldn't have been raised. Being raised, he is who he said he was. His word is exactly what God intended, the truth. Also, God's given us peace through Jesus' resurrection. Can you say that word with me? Just say peace. Do you know what kind of peace he's given to you? If Jesus were a criminal and died justly, would God have raised him from the dead? No. God raising Jesus Christ from the dead assures us that God accepted Jesus' sacrifice as the sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. As John the Baptist said, he is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, right? Well, if he was not the Lamb of God and didn't take away our sins, God would have left him dead. He wouldn't have been raised. But because God raised him from the dead, confirms he was sinless, the Savior, and the sacrifice was acceptable to God, which means you can have the peace that your sins in Christ really are forgiven. Assured of that, you can be. A super confident peace. Paul says, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, worthless. You're still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If only for this life we've hoped in Christ, we're of all men most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who've fallen asleep. Are you with me? Peter said, God raised Jesus on the third day, and he commanded us to preach to the people that he's the one ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. And to him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name. So when you look at Easter, when we look at Jesus being raised from the dead, that is proof to you that God accepts that sacrifice, accepts your sins are forgiven by Jesus through his sacrifice, that you calling on him might be saved. And so you can have peace today with the proof of the resurrection that your sins are forgiven. And that's a beautiful thing. That's awesome. The resurrection proves all this. Another thing is God says, I give you zeal and encouragement for this life because I'm giving you knowledge of the future by the resurrection. How does he do that? Well, we can turn to Acts chapter 17. Let's see what Paul says about the resurrection. He's preaching here to the people at Athens. And he says there, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day on which he'll judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he's appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. So what's that mean? You tell me. Can you play with me here? Assurance to all men that there is a coming judgment, and what's the assurance? That God raised Jesus from the dead. You can know with a certainty of faith, foreknowledge of a future event that's coming, that God will judge the world. And the judge himself has said, every careless word that's uttered on this earth shall be brought into judgment. By your words you'll be justified, by your words will be condemned. And that gives us actually a superabundant zeal and encouragement in our faith. Because every deed that's done in Christ will be rewarded. The resurrection proves this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 again, if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. And by the way, your work is in vain. Everything's worthless if we have a dead Savior. But if we have a living Savior, and he's really raised, then every deed you do is going to have a reward. Even a cup of cold water you give to someone in the name of Christ will be rewarded. And therefore, we have great zeal that the reward is coming. And so we can run our race in this life with a great pace, seeing this blue ribbon waiting for us at the finish line. And Paul says, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. And how do we know that? Because of the Easter. Jesus was raised from the dead, and he's coming again. Another thing here is that God says, You can have, by raising Jesus Christ from the dead, I've put victory into your hearts. The thrill of it already in this life, the thrill of victory, because Jesus conquered death for us. Peter says it wasn't possible for Jesus to be held by death. He was sinless. Death couldn't hold him, as if it were like iron jaws trying to clamp down on him. He just burst through because he is the stronger. He is the sinless Savior, the Son of God. And because he lives, Jesus says, because I live, you will live also. Does that give you any victory today? Y'all know you're heading toward dust, right? If Jesus tarries for a little longer, your body's going to be laid into the grave and you'll become under corruption and decay and waste away, your body to dust. But because I live, Jesus says, and you don't have a dead Savior but a living one, I promise you, I'll raise your bodies up as well. At death, our spirits go to be with God in heaven, but our bodies are laid to corruption. But I will raise your body at the last day, the sound of the trumpet, says the risen Savior. What a great hope we have today. What are you going to look like on that day? Well, there's going to be a resurrection, by the way, of everybody. Wicked people as well as good people. The just and the unjust. Jesus says, the hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice, the Son of God, and come forth. Those who've done good to the resurrection of life, those who've done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Wouldn't that be horrifying to be raised in your body only to face the judge and be condemned and cast into hell? Well, that will happen for many. But for those who come to Christ, Daniel says, those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Oh boy, are you going to recognize me? Am I going to recognize you? Yeah, we will. But think about it. Who am I looking on right now out in the congregation? Dust, ashes. But guess what? When you're raised, I'm looking at a star. You know, Corrine, you're going to shine like a star forever and ever. And Jesus says, Art and the rest of you, you will shine like the sun in the kingdom of your Father. Can you just picture that? This is the day that's coming. The resurrection proves it. The resurrection of the dead proves that one day those who believe in Christ will shine like stars and sun in full radiant glory and splendor. This is promised us in Easter, in the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And it says in Isaiah 26, thy dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. O dwellers in the dust, awake and sing for joy. It's going to be a joyful day of all beauty. Paul says in Romans 6, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. And Romans 8, he says, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus is living inside your mortal bodies right now, he dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit which dwells in you. Do you have a Holy Spirit in you right now? Do you have eternal life dwelling in you right now? Do you know that that same spirit that's inside of you, inside this dust right now, I'm going to undergo corruption, I'm going to return to dust, but at the Lord's coming, at his trumpet's call, the spirit that's dwelling in me, the Holy Spirit, is going to go boom, raised, strong, young, unable to die, unable to be injured, grow sick. You looking forward to that? Those are getting older, huh? I heard some people tell me recently, getting older just means you're going more trips to the doctor. Oy vey, right? Who wants that? Not in the kingdom of God. Not in the kingdom of God. Like the stars forever, like the sun forever, in glory. We'll be like him when he appears, says John in 1 John 3. And Christ is likened in the Bible to first fruits. If anybody's a farmer, you have some crops that come up first, but other crops appear later. Well, Christ is the first fruits, but then when he comes, the rest of us rise out of our tombs like he did. That's the Easter hope. We'll rise. And then he's going to destroy death after he puts all his enemies under his feet. And then when he does all this and everything is subject to Jesus Christ will turn and subject himself to God the Father, and then God is going to be everything to everyone. That's God's plan. And that's going to be fulfilled. And we're going to see it with our own eyes. Like Job says, I'm going to see my Savior. He's going to be on my side. I'll behold him and not another. In my flesh I'll see him, and so will you in Christ. That victory is in your hearts already, amen? The sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but here's the gift. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the resurrection proves all these things, and we have a living Savior. We're not like the other religions of the world who have dead leaders. We have a living one and a living hope. And Jesus, the risen, living, alive Savior says, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't be afraid. In my Father's house, there are many rooms there. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? Of course not. And when I go and I prepare a place for you, I'm coming again. I'm going to take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So don't be afraid, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. It's hold fast his name. Yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And all who would come to the Father must come by him. So I say of Easter, yes, go Jesus. This is fantastic. This is awesome. This is the best news of ever. And Isaiah 52 says, and I love this prophecy, just listen. As many as were astonished at him, so his appearance on the cross, right, was so marred beyond human semblance. His form was beyond that of the sons of men. So shall he startle many nations, and kings shall shut their mouths because of him. You look up on there and you mock him, they did, and he looked gruesome on that cross. But when he rises again, kings are going to go, oh, they can't even speak for his glory before them. And he's now exalted to the right hand of God. And I'll conclude with these words. This is the prophecy of the future. This is rock solid on account of the proof of the resurrection. This will come to pass. God, who is on the throne, will shelter you with his presence. You shall hunger no more, neither will you thirst anymore. The sun won't strike you, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb, who is in the midst of the throne, will be your shepherd. And he will guide you to springs of living water. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia. Amen.